20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. Follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Hope your weekend is treating you well. Off to a great start. As I mentioned on Happy Hour yesterday, for those of you who are there, we are supposed to get some crazy snow in the Green Bay area on Sunday. So hope you are getting prepared now. And hopefully we don't get anything as crazy as it's seeming, at least at the time being. We'll see what Sunday brings, but should be interesting nonetheless. For those of you, of course, that are not in Green Bay, well, I hope you're enjoying your wonderful weather elsewhere. We had 70s earlier this week just for a day. And now, of course, we're just going to get dumped on with snow. But I digress. We've got a lot to get into, including some more free agency news. It is sort of the end of free agency. At least it feels like it. Rashid Walker gets signed. We'll talk about that. But before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Damo SC Footy. Thank you for signing up. And brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast Hall of Fame member, Imperium Collectibles. Appreciate you guys a ton. Thank you so, so much for signing up. And make sure to check out those memberships when you have a chance. If that doesn't work for you, just try to subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Those things help the algorithm a ton, and we appreciate it even more. Let's start off by talking about Rashid Walker. As we entered the offseason, we've been talking about comp picks every single day, right? We sort of expected that Rashid Walker and Malik Willis would probably be at the top of that comp pick spectrum, somewhere in that third round range. Romeo Doubs, probably fourth round. Quay Walker, somewhere between a fourth and a fifth. And Kingsley Nagbare, somewhere between probably a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. That was sort of the expectations going in. And everything had sort of been as expected so far. Malik Willis is probably going to end up being a third. He could still end up being a fourth, but probably ends up being a third. Romeo Doubs is going to get a fourth. Quay Walker, a fifth. Kingsley Nagbare, a sixth. And then, of course, they canceled out Nagbare's with the signing, but with the St. Juice signing. But Rashid Walker was still out there. And again, the expectation was Dan Moore. We've talked about him a billion times over the last year and a half. Over $20 million per year, should get a third-round comp pick. Rashid Walker was better than Dan Moore when he got signed. And so clearly, Rashid Walker will at minimum get that type of deal. Green Bay will get a third-round comp pick, and everyone will live happily ever after. Except it didn't work that way. Rashid Walker signed a one-year deal around $10 million. It might actually come in less than Kingsley Nagbare's when we get the final numbers, which would be insane. Either way, it's insane. He ends up getting way less. He signs with the Carolina Panthers. That is going to be a sixth round comp pick for somebody that you were expecting a third or at worst a fourth. For that to be a sixth round pick is brutal. Now, I do need to correct something I said on the live show because the news broke when I was on the live show. I didn't know what the Carolina Panthers were doing because they had a starting left tackle and right tackle, left guard and right guard. And you're looking at it like, certainly Rashid's not going to play center. What the heck is going on here? I did not realize that Ike Ekwonu is going to be out for a significant period of time with an injury, a major injury. And so Rashid's going to be the starting left tackle for Carolina going into this year. He signs the one-year deal. Ekwonu will come back in 2027 or maybe towards the end of 2026. We'll see, but reclaim that spot. And then if Sheed has a good year, he might make more next year. That's great and wonderful for Carolina if they get the comp pick, but it certainly does Green Bay no favors whatsoever. The market was limited. I talked about this a little bit on Happy Hour. Sometimes the market corrects itself and the market sees, hey, this is what happened last year and it didn't work out great for the team that did it. So we're not going to be the team that does that this year. We've seen a little bit with the cornerback market that has come down a little bit. We saw it a little bit with the linebacker market that has come down a little bit. And now we see it with the tackle market too, where nobody's paying Rashid Walker anything near the Dan Moore contract. In fact, he gets far fewer years and he gets less than half of what that Dan Moore contract was. So I am sure Rashid Walker had visions of $20 million plus dancing in his head and he got half of that. And by the way, deservedly so. Deservedly so. I want to be careful here because I want all of these players to go out and get their money and get paid and they deserve that side of things. They're putting their bodies on the line every single week. So I don't mean it in that sort of realm, right? But from a playing standpoint, Rashid Walker had every right to go out and play well in a contract year in 2025 And if he plays bare minimum solid football, like just even the average of what he had played up in his career, probably up until that point, he's probably getting at least 15, if not 20 or even more on the open market. And if he plays great, if he plays really well in a contract year, not only does that help Green Bay a ton, but again, he's probably pocketing 22, 23, 25 million. And instead, he had a brutal year, which was finished off by a terrible, terrible, terrible game against Chicago in the playoffs that legitimately probably cost him millions of dollars. And he ends up with a one-year, $10 million contract because of it. This, if Sheed were to get hurt next year and his career just kind of falls apart and, you know, he doesn't get like, maybe he gets one more contract on like a one-year, $3 million deal or something. This deal or that this past year of poor play, because if he signs like a four-year, you know, $100 million deal or something like that, and he gets like $60 million guaranteed, that poor year in 2025 that he played this past season in Green Bay, I mean, it could have cost him $40, $50 million, maybe more. It's an insane thing to think about. And it's in the second consecutive offseason, not to make this, ooh, look at me, I'm amazing, or not to make it about me in any way, shape, or form. But it's the second straight offseason that my grades have matched up more with what the NFL has thought of Packers offensive linemen. Josh Myers last year, and 2 years ago, everyone in Green Bay at the podium is talking about Josh Myers playing the best football of his career. I've told you guys this story before. I heard it from so many people in the Packers organization that I went back and I regraded every single snap of Josh Myers to see, did I miss something? Did I legitimately miss how well he was playing? And it turns out, no, I didn't. It graded poorly still. And then he hits the open market, gets 1 year, $2 million. And PFF, again, this year, had a solid grade, had an above average grade on Rashid Walker. And he was my worst graded offensive lineman for Green Bay. And everyone's, again, talking 20 mil. To be fair, I thought he was going to get it too, just because we saw the Dan Moore thing. But he goes out and only gets a 1 year, $10 million deal. He had a bad year. He had a really bad year in Green Bay. And because of that, it cost Rashid Walker millions of dollars, and it cost Green Bay a third round comp pick. And now it's a sixth. And by the way, you do wonder if, one, Green Bay would have changed some of the things that they did in free agency, knowing that another free agent signing would have only cost them a sixth round pick. That's an interesting thing to think about if they would have known this. Now, they only would have lost a five because Quay Walker would have been the one that came off if they signed another free agent. So it's not like they would have lost a third. But if they're thinking, hey, we don't want to lose a fifth, maybe like, hey, we don't really care about losing. It's a round lower could make some difference. Also, it could still make some difference. For example, if before Green Bay's like, we really don't want to sign DJ Reader because he's going to cost us a contract, plus we're going to lose a fifth round pick next year. Maybe they didn't want to do that. But now, if you look at it and say, we want to go out and get DJ Reader, and now it's only going to cost us a 2027 sixth round pick, maybe there's a little bit of change there. And maybe there is a difference. There should be. It's a difference between a fifth round pick and a sixth round pick that you're going to lose. You can probably feel a little bit more of like, ah, it's just a sixth. It's not that big of a deal. A fifth, and you start getting a little bit more of like, hey, we could find a good player there. So you wonder if that might open up free agency a little bit more for Green Bay right now. Or if they do want to sign somebody like a DJ Reader, they could do so, and it's only going to cost them a sixth round comp pick instead of what would have probably been a fifth before this. As of right now, with no free agent signings, Green Bay is likely to get a third round pick for Malik Willis, a fourth round pick for Romeo Doubs, a fifth round pick for Quay Walker, and then a sixth round pick for one of Kingsley Enagbare or Rashid Walker, whoever ends up with the best deal of those two. That's what it is right now. Some things could change with that, but that's the expectation as of today. Brandon McManus, a little bit of news on Friday. Brandon McManus had a $1 million roster bonus due on Friday. And the only way that you can avoid paying that $1 million roster bonus is by releasing Brandon McManus. So if they would have released him, they would have saved the base money in his contract, and they would have saved that full $1 million roster bonus. Now that he's on the roster today on Saturday, March 14th, means that Green Bay is locked into that $1 million roster bonus. Even if they release him, they cannot get out of it. It is paid. It is final. And what that means for you as a Packers fan is that Brandon McManus's odds to make this team just went up exponentially. If you were thinking that there could be a move with McManus and that Green Bay might release him, it would have happened on Friday or before. The fact that he's on the roster now gives him a ton of likelihood that he's going to be the kicker this year. It's not a foregone conclusion. I do think they will have competition in camp. If McManus struggles, and whether it's an undrafted free agent kicker or whether it's Lucas Haversick, if they kick amazing, Green Bay could make that decision still to go in a different direction. But the vast, vast, vast likelihood at this point is that Brandon McManus will be your kicker, because otherwise they just paid that $1 million bonus for absolutely nothing. He will be the leader in the clubhouse to be your kicker in 2026. We did get some finalized numbers on some Packers free agents that they signed, or re-signed, I should say. Christian Welch, 1 year, $1.31 million, a $10,000 signing bonus. So pretty near a vet min. Brenton Cox, 1 year, basically $1.7 million with a $250,000 signing bonus. And Josh Wiley, 1 year, $2 million with a $370,000 signing bonus. What you're looking at here is that guaranteed money, the signing bonus money. What it tells you is that they gave Josh Wiley the most, both in base salary and in guaranteed money. So if you're looking at somebody who's most likely to make the team on this list, it is Josh Wiley, followed by Brenton Cox, who they gave a $250,000 signing bonus to, and then Christian Welch, which is $10,000, which is basically like, hey, we want you to try out for the team. Here's $10,000 to be on the Packers to have you try out in camp, but we're not guaranteeing you anything whatsoever other than that $10,000. And in all likelihood, Christian Welch will likely not make the team out of camp. It's going to be very difficult for him to do so, but they still give him the opportunity to basically try out. And there is a very strong chance that he could end up on Green Bay's practice squad. We'll be right back. So I remember the very first time that drinking hit me differently. I was drinking responsibly the night before, and we had young kids at the time, and I woke up with my son crying in bed and just didn't feel right. It was a very harsh reminder that after the age of 30, even responsibly drinking alcohol will make you feel less than 100% the next day. The more I looked into it, the more I realized that even a few alcoholic drinks will crush your sleep and your next day readiness. That's why I'm obsessed with Cheers Restore. Cheers Restore is a dual action after alcohol aid. Its ingredients support both your brain and your liver after consuming alcohol. Cheers was originally invented by a student at Princeton and was designed for how alcohol actually affects your body, not just dehydration. And you don't have to just take my word for it. Cheers has appeared on Shark Tank and is sold in over 30,000 stores, and they've already sold over 50 million doses. And Cheers is backed by doctors, PhDs, and over 1,000 verified clinicians who share it with their patients. Cheers' promise is simple. All you do is take three capsules after your last drink or before bed, and you'll feel about 50% better the next day or your money back. That's why it's same night out, way better morning with Cheers. For a limited time, our listeners are getting 20% off their entire order by using code PACKADAY at cheershealth.com. Just head to cheershealth.com and use code PACKADAY for 20% off. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that PACKADAY sent you. There was a little bit of backup quarterback buzz on Friday. There were some questions as to whether or not Kirk Cousins could go to Green Bay, or maybe some suggestions out there that Green Bay should sign Kirk Cousins. Okay. He has some dead salary cap money, so Green Bay could get him on basically a vet minimum, and he's still going to get some offset money and things like that. Sure, go for it. No problem with that if that's the way you want to go. Sounds like Will Levis, the Titans are open to trading him. Sounds like Anthony Richardson, the Colts are open to trading him. So just some stuff out there. Green Bay has not solidified that backup quarterback spot yet. Worth keeping an eye on. Could be a draft thing, could be a trade thing. There's still some free agents out there too, like Justin Fields. We'll have to kind of wait and see. Maybe they just go with Desmond Ridder. I don't think they should do that, but that backup quarterback spot is still one definitely to keep an eye on. We got big news with Packers numbers. Javon Hargrave is going to be wearing number 98. Meanwhile, Sky Moore is going to be wearing number 23, at least for now. Just know the roster's pretty, you know, stacked right now with a lot of players on it. If Sky Moore is to make the 53, that is a number that could potentially change right before the start of the regular season. It's not like they're going to be selling a ton of Sky Moore jerseys. So, you know, he doesn't have to worry about paying those out if they are, if he does want to change his number. So, but for now, Sky Moore, number 23, again, Javon Hargrave, number 98. Dalvin Tomlinson was a free agent that some people had wanted the Packers to pick up. He signs a 1 year, $7.5 million deal with the Chargers, $6 million guaranteed. Frankly, I am pretty stunned he got that much money. I thought that would be more like 1 year, four-ish, somewhere in that range. 1 year, 7.5 is a big overpay, in my opinion, for what Tomlinson did a year ago. We'll see if it pays off for the Chargers, but he heads there, and Green Bay still without a primary nose tackle for the time being. Legarius Sneed was also released by the Tennessee Titans. A lot of questions in happy hour if Green Bay should pick him up. I would say no. I think it makes sense for him to reunite with the Kansas City Chiefs, where he played the best football of his career under Steve Spagnuolo, and just see if he can get his career back on track. But he was really, really, really bad in Tennessee and beat up and injured. If you get him 1 year vet minimum, sure, you could pick him up, try him out for the season, but he probably goes a little bit more than that. And if I'm Green Bay, I'm going to let somebody else take a chance at this point in time. So no real interest in Legarius Sneed. All right, today what we're going to be looking at is what Green Bay has lost in free agency so far and who is set to replace them. We kind of did a little bit of a version of this yesterday, but I want to go over specifically the players that they lost, how many snaps they've played for Green Bay, what their grades have been both for PFF and I, and if Green Bay has a logical replacement in place to take their spot and to see if that could be potentially better, the same, or worse than the player that's leaving the team. Let's start with Rashid Walker, who we talked about at the onset of today's show. He played 1,057 snaps for the Packers this past year, played 3,170 snaps on offense in his career in Green Bay. This past year, for PFF, he allowed 40 pressures, 5 sacks at a 96.2 pass block efficiency, and 11 penalties overall. Had a 63.0 PFF grade, had a 68.7 the year before that, and a 66.3 the year before that. My grades on him, as we talked about earlier, much worse. Negative 5.25 grade this year, negative 1.6 the year before that, negative 2.3 the year before that. His likely replacement, Jordan Morgan, who played 819 snaps this past year for Green Bay, primarily at guard, but did get some time at tackle late in the year, had a 62.0 PFF grade. If you remember, Rashid for PFF had a 63.0, and Morgan was out of position at guard the vast majority of the year. The prior year, he had a 59.2 grade. I had a negative 3.15 grade on him this past year, more on that momentarily, and then a negative 0.65 in 2024. What I do want to mention about Jordan Morgan is late in the year, we did see it start to click a little bit for him. In my final 6 games, I had a plus 0.35 grade on him. And in his final 4 games, I had a plus 0.55 grade on him. So there were signs of real improvement. He did get some time at tackle, specifically right tackle, towards the end of the year. So hopefully that is a sign of things to come. If you're just asking me, I think Jordan Morgan is going to be an upgrade from Rashid Walker. We saw that really in the snaps that he played this past year. PFF grades were similar, 63 for Rashid, 62 for Morgan. And again, Morgan was out of position. And once he started playing tackle and towards the end of the year, Morgan started playing much better. I would go so far to say if the offensive line were healthy at the end of the year, I think Sheed would have been benched in that Bears game, maybe before, but probably in that Bears game in favor of Jordan Morgan, and they would have rotated things up a little bit more. Or I just think that would have helped them a ton, but they weren't healthy enough, and so therefore they weren't able to do that. They weren't able to bench Rashid, but I think now he's gone. He's a Carolina Panther. We'll see what Rashid can do there, but I do think Jordan Morgan's ready to take over and be as good, if not better, than what Rashid Walker was a year ago. Next up, you've got Malik Willis heading to the Miami Dolphins. He played a total of only 97 snaps a year ago, but they were an important 97 snaps. Had 314 snaps in his Packers career. This past year, he was 30 of 35, 85.7% completion percentage for 422 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 145.5 passer rating, took 3 sacks, carried 22 times for 123 yards, 5.6 yard average, 2 touchdowns, did have 2 fumbles, had a 92.3 PFF grade, had a 70.3 PFF grade the year before that, had a plus 3.7 grade from me and a plus 3.00 grade in 2024. Your replacement is Desmond Ridder for the time being. In 2024, he did not play any snaps in 2025. In 2024, he played 132, had a 45.7 PFF grade, 51.9 the year before that, 55.9 the year before that. The truth is, there's almost nobody that Green Bay can bring in as their backup quarterback that can take the place of what Malik Willis has done in limited snaps the last 2 years, being damn near perfect when he was on the field. A very small sample size. We'll see if it pays off for Miami picking him up. but it's going to be difficult to replace it. As of right now, Desmond Ridder is the leader in the clubhouse. I do expect a different player ultimately to be there, but right now they really do not have that Malik Willis replacement. Again, I don't think they're going to find it. That's going to be one that they have to overcome if Jordan does miss any time this upcoming season. Next up, Romeo Doubs, who's heading to the New England Patriots. He played 831 snaps this past year on offense. He had 2,993 snaps on offense in his Packers career. Should be noted, he was, of course, also the Packers punt returner towards the middle and end of last year. He had 85 targets, 55 catches, 724 yards, 6 touchdowns, 41 first downs, 4 drops, and 1 fumble. Had a 74.6 PFF grade, 69.7 the year before that, 73.6 the year before that, and 62.6 in his rookie year. For me, had a plus 2.35 grade last year, plus 3.55 the year before that, plus 6.55 in his sophomore year, and negative 1.50 as a rookie. There's no one-for-one replacement for Romeo Doubs, but I do think it's fair to say that Matthew Golden is going to get an uptick in snaps and probably be that other primary receiver, along with Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, and Dontavian Wicks. Those three probably keeping their snap count as is. I expect Golden to go up and kind of take that mantle from Romeo Doubs. Last year, Matthew Golden in his rookie year played 488 snaps, had a 70.5 PFF grade. Remember, Doubs had a 74.6. And I had a plus 3.45 grade on Matthew Golden. For Doubs, I had a plus 2.35. So plus 1.1 on Golden in minimum snaps. So in about, 350 fewer snaps for Golden, I had a higher grade on him by a decent amount. Some key drops for Doubs played into that quite a bit. But when Golden was given the opportunity, he played extremely well, extremely well. Thought his routes were crisp. Now, there were some times where maybe he wasn't in the right spot or aligned the right way. It's not something I can always grade. Dusty Evely was a little bit on top of that lately. But when he did go out, his routes, like I said, were crisp. He had great hands. He made big plays. That awesome play against Chicago in the playoffs. I am very excited what Matthew Golden can do. And I do think he is ready to take over for Romeo Doubs, get more snaps. And I actually think, it's tough to say upgrade or whatever, because you would like to have both of them or whatever, and they had both of them last year. But I think he's ready to take over for Romeo Doubs and provide a different explosive type playmaking ability to this Packers offense. Next, we have Kingsley Enagbare, who's going over to the Jets. 521 defensive snaps this past year, 2017 in his Packers career. Had 23 pressures, 3 sacks, 35 tackles, 23 stops, and 2 penalties per PFF this past year. They gave him a 61.2 grade, 56.8 the year before that, 62.5, and 61.4 previously. I had a negative 0.85 grade on him this past year, negative 1.85 in 2024, negative 0.6 in 2023, and negative 1.9 in 2022. The logical replacement here for Kingsley Enagbare is Baron Sorrell. Sorrell played in 2025, played 206 snaps, had a PFF grade of 55.4, and I had a grade of negative 0.35. So a little bit worse for Sorrell in fewer snaps, less than half the snaps, about 40% of the snaps for Sorrell. 55.4 grade as compared to Enagbare's 61.2. I had a negative 0.35 on Sorrell, negative 0.85 for Enagbare. Now, Sorrell played less snaps, so if he would have played more, that would have been a worse grade than Enagbare. But a similar sort of grade, I do think Sorrell is going to be ready to kind of step up and take that role from Enagbare, and I think you're going to see very minimal difference or decline. I think Sorrell is going to be ready for that spot. And I think you'll see a very Enagbare-esque career from Baron Sorrell in his first 4 years in Green Bay. We'll be right back. Next, we got Quay Walker, who's headed to the Raiders. 978 defensive snaps for Walker this past year, 3,601 in his Packers career. Had 95 tackles, 46 stops, a 6.7% missed tackle percentage, a 122.9 passer rating allowed when targeted, 1 penalty, 3 sacks. Those were per PFF. A 46.0 PFF grade, 57.2 in 2024, 58.5 in 2023, and 52.0 in 2022. Never grading average or above for PFF. I had a very slight above average grade, literally about as slight as you can get, plus 0.1 for Walker this past year, but his 3 previous years, negative 2.2, negative 2.15, negative 3.4. And in his last eight games of 2025, he had a negative 1.15 grade. So played pretty well at the beginning of 2025, but then kind of got back to playing the same brand of football that we were used to seeing Quay Walker play, which still left a lot to be desired, to be clear. His replacement is going to be Zaire Franklin. 1,112 defensive snaps this past year, only a 38.4 PFF grade. I have not graded him, obviously, yet. He had a 61.0, a 60.9, and a 57.0 the year before that. I think with Zaire, what you're going to get is a slightly worse version of Quay, but not significantly so. And I think you get him at a much cheaper price. I think it makes sense. I think you're going to get a similar brand of football from Zaire that you did with Quay over all these last 4 years. Emmanuel Wilson is a Seattle Seahawk. 340 snaps this past year, 670 in his career. Again, that's just offensive snaps. 125 carries, 496 yards, just about a 4.0 yard average. Three touchdowns, one fumble for Wilson this past year. He had 15 receptions for 99 yards, a 6.6 yard average, and zero touchdowns. Had a 63.7 PFF grade this year, 82.9 in 2024, and an 80.0 in 2023. I had a plus 0.8 grade on him this year, plus 3.65 for him in 2024, and plus 0.1 in 2023. He's a good, sound, solid back that I think Seattle was wise to pick up. It's a pretty minimal deal. We'll see if he makes the team over there. I don't think there's anything super dynamic or game-breaking about him, but he can get the job done when you need it. I think there's no logical replacement right now for him on the roster, but of course they're hoping that it's going to be Marshawn Lloyd. That Jacobs can be the one, Lloyd can be the two, Brooks can be the three. If all three of those are healthy, it's a really pretty perfect running back group. You've got Jacobs as your bell cow and your do everything back. Marshawn Lloyd is a really fun change of pace that can give you some explosive ability. And then Chris Brooks is your dirty work pass protecting back. It works out really well, but they're hoping that Marshawn Lloyd can take the spot of Emmanuel Wilson. Of course, Lloyd did not play all of last year. Zane Anderson is a Miami Dolphin, 22 defensive snaps only, 158 in his career in Green Bay, 206 special team snaps, 615 special team snaps in his career for the Packers, 74.3 special teams grade this year, 67.6 the year before that, 52.2 the year before that. So he's consistently gotten better at teams per PFF, a 49.5 defensive grade, 80.8 in 2024. And then 29.8 in 2023. This year in those 2023 grades run very minimal snaps, so a very, very small sample size. For me, I had a negative 0.2 grade on him this year, plus 1.1 grade on him last year, and the year before that, I should say, negative 0.05 grade in 2023. Your replacements are a little bit tricky here. Ketanu Ladapo is probably your defensive replacement. Benjamin St. Juice is probably a little bit of your special teams replacement. Oladapo played 69 snaps a season ago, a 57.2 PFF grade, 72.9 the year before that. I had a negative 0.35 grade on him this year and a plus 0.35 grade on him in 2024. So a clear 0.0 grade in his 2 years in Green Bay. Meanwhile, Benjamin St. Juste should take some of the special teams burden without Zane Anderson being there. He played 308 special team snaps this past year with a 55.3 PFF grade. Rashawn Gary headed to the Dallas Cowboys, played 697 defensive snaps this past year, 3,920 in his career, had 60 pressures, 7 sacks, 24 tackles, 26 stops, and 1 penalty per PFF, had a 68.9 PFF grade since 2021 for Rashawn Gary, 89.8 PFF grade, followed by 82.9, 79, 73, and 68.9. It has declined every single year. And talk about matching it up with my grades. Plus 6.2, plus 4.4, plus 3.1, plus 2.1, plus 1.05. Just a literal, you know, stairway down the entire way since 2021 for Rashawn Gary. We'll see what he does in Dallas. He's basically gotten consistently worse year over year over year over year over year, going from a really talented, super fun defensive end, edge rusher, to somebody that has been pretty frustrating these last couple seasons. The replacement is by committee. There's no, you could say Brenton Cox, maybe Colin Oliver, but there's no true replacement for Rashawn Gary right now. You have Micah still, you've got LVN, Sorrell kind of takes the place of Enigbare, and I guess I would say Brenton Cox for Rashawn Gary. that's probably the closest, but they're going to probably need something else in the meantime. And if not, I guess Colin Oliver and Brenton Cox are going to have to figure out a way to make up for any Rashawn Gary loss. And you might be saying, oh, there's no loss. He's still graded in the positive for both me and PFF. Most of that was in run defense. Most of that was earlier in the year. But there is still a replacing to do with Rashawn Gary, whether we like to talk about it or not. Elgton Jenkins is a Cleveland Brown. 538 offensive snaps this past year, 6,358 in his career in Green Bay. Allowed 10 pressures in those 538 offensive snaps, 2 sacks, a 98.0% pass blocking efficiency, 4 penalties, had a 62.0 PFF grade, 65.7 the year before that, followed by 64.5, 72.3, 82.1, 66.9, and 69.1. My grades had a negative 1.4 grade on him this past year, plus 3.3, plus 3.4, negative 0.45, plus 2.65, plus 8.95, plus 3.80. So really spiked for me in his sophomore year and his second year in the league. Worst grade by far this past year for Elgton Jenkins. His replacement's going to be Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan had 876 snaps, a 59.2 PFF grade. His grades at center by game, starting week 10, 61.1, 55.6, 57.4, 70.4, 61.9, 56.8, 82.2, 36.7, 61.2. A lot of 50, 60, 70s with 182.2 and 136.7 mixed in. My grade at center since week 10, plus 1.65. Plus 1.65. So a pretty darn good, you know, opportunity at center for him after he played it pretty well at the end of the year. So I liked him. I liked him a better at center than I did. He was negative 0.35 at guard, if you're wondering, earlier in the year for me. PFF probably had him a little bit worse, but that's where I had him. I think he's better at center, and hopefully, I just think he's better than what Jenkins was a year ago too. So I think that was the right call, and we'll see if Sean Ryan can be even better in his second full, or really, you know, his first full year at center. Nate Hobbs is a San Francisco 49er. 358 snaps this past year, 25 targets, 17 completions, 68.0% completion percentage, 239 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 3 penalties, and a 125.3 passer rating allowed. At a 61.7 PFF grade, a negative 1.35 grade for me, so I liked him a little bit less. I guess we can say the replacement here is Benjamin St. Juste. There's not really an apples-to-apples replacement for Hobbs, but you lose a corner, you gain a corner. And as far as, you know, Benjamin St. Juste goes, 378 snaps, a 76.3 PFF grade. So played 20 snaps more than Hobbs did and graded out significantly better per PFF. And last but not least, Colby Wooden is an Indianapolis Colts coming over in the trade for Zaire Franklin. Wooden had 622 snaps this past year, had 1,180 in his Packers career, had 14 pressures, no sacks, 35 tackles, 28 stops, and 1 penalty. Had a 50.6 PFF grade, 50.0 the year before that, 57.6 in his rookie year. I had a negative 1.6 grade on him this year, negative 0.8 the year before that, and plus 0.35 in his rookie year. Clear replacement is Javon Hargrave. Hargrave had 537 snaps, a 68.0 PFF grade, 31 pressures, 4 sacks, 20 stops, 2 penalties, and was clearly a step ahead of Colby Wooden. Now, my final thoughts here is that Green Bay has a lot of replacements in place, but there are 3 that are sort of still missing. They don't have a Malik Willis replacement. That's going to be something that they got to figure out. They do not have a Rashawn Gary replacement. That's another one that, you know, it's going to be kind of by committee. I think they're going to be okay there. I guess the other one is, you know, probably running back, because you just can't really count on Marshawn Lloyd. So you're hoping that Lloyd can replace Emmanuel Wilson, but if he can't, that gets a little bit more complicated. So those are maybe things that you need to replace with players that you've lost so far. I think Goody's had this team prepared. Again, Romeo Doubs to Matthew Golden, I think that actually has the ability to be better. Enigbari to Baron Sorrell, I think can break even. Quay Walker to Zaire Franklin, I expect it to be a little bit worse, but mostly the same. Emmanuel Wilson to Marshawn Lloyd, hopefully if Lloyd can be healthy, should be an upgrade. Whether he can remain healthy or not remains to be seen. Zane Anderson, Ketan Oladapo is more than ready to take that spot. Rashawn Gary, no real replacement. Elgton Jenkins, Sean Ryan's ready to take his spot. Nate Hobbs, Benjamin St. Juste, sort of ready to take his spot. Again, a little bit different, but you get the point. And overall, outside of Malik Willis and Rashawn Gary, it does feel like Green Bay has pieces in place to to make up for the loss of production that they're going to have from all these players that have left in free agency or that Green Bay's traded away or released. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate you guys so freaking much. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gestford, Chris Reiger, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelsinkel, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack, Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Seda Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch, Zillardson, Large Charles, Jay Koner, Will Glass, and Imperium Collectibles. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.